Raw Truth podcasts may contain explicit, sensitive, and questionable content. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual podcaster and are not based on the advice of a licensed psychologist, therapist, or other medical professional. Listener discretion is strongly advised. Women's lives follow many paths, twists and turns, and choices never planned nor expected. In life, temptation, anger, depression, and loneliness can lead a good person to make a choice that they can't take back. When facing judgment and isolation, a person can feel very alone. In this podcast, you will hear stories from women who made the choice to cheat on their spouses or partners. Hear their stories. This is Raw Truth, Stories of Female Infidelity. An anonymous and no judgment podcast created and hosted by me, Rebecca Adams. I was an unfaithful wife. You are not alone. Hello and welcome to Raw Truth, Stories of Female Infidelity. Hope everybody is doing well. Here we are at the end of March. Crazy, hard to believe. Where's the year going? Over the last two episodes, we have been talking about Karen. And in part two, we learned a little bit more about her and her husband and how they finally decided they would go to Vegas for a nice vacation and they ended up getting married. She felt in her heart of hearts this was the best decision that she needed to make. It was going to change her. She was going to stay with him. She would accept the way things are in their lives. And she was going to do good, be good. But that changed. Her friend had talked her into going out one night where they ran into somebody that she used to have a kind of a crush on, I guess, back in high school. But things didn't stop there. She did take it a little step further, and now, at this point, she's in a full-blown affair with this other person. Let's go ahead and conclude her story and see where she's at today with her husband and her affair partner. A little over a year passed, and we were still meeting up in his vehicle. Sometimes we would go to his land and go on ATV rides, hang out by the fire, just hang out and enjoy each other's company. He had become my best friend. One of the nights when we were having sex, I remember feeling so much love that I could hardly contain it. I wanted to tell him that I could feel he felt it too. It was no longer sex. It was lovemaking. Something I had never done. He admittedly had sex with two different people during our relationship, but I couldn't be mad about it. I was married, and as long as he was honest with me and used protection, I pretended I didn't care. But I did care. Two women in a year really isn't that much, but it bothered me deep down. Hypocritical, I know. Well, after we finished having sex, I asked if he kissed everyone the way he kisses me when we have sex. He thought about it for a minute and said, "No, why?" I told him because we kiss with so much passion that I had never experienced. I wanted to tell him I loved him, but didn't. That summer, I went out of town for the weekend, and while I was out of town, something happened. I happened to be out of state with my little sister, my family, and her friends for her bachelorette party. I was her matron of honor, so I had put everything together, and we had a really good time. On the way home, I was putting pictures together, figuring out which ones I wanted to post, which ones I wanted to get printed, etc. As I was looking at the pictures we had taken when we were all in the pool, I got this feeling of dread, and I had this thought come over me that told me, "Do not post the pictures of your sister in the bikini." And just like that, it hit me like a punch in the gut. I remembered the pictures that Brian had on that SD card of my sister, and I felt sick. I couldn't quit. I couldn't stop thinking about it. I felt anger toward him, but even more than that, I felt anger toward myself for staying with this man all these years. I felt angry at myself for pushing it into the back of my head and literally forgetting about it. Like, how is that even possible? I have gone around and around in my mind about this because it almost feels like I've kept a secret. It was keeping a secret that is disgusting and something that I don't condone. I feel like I should have protected my sister even though he didn't do anything to her physically. He was a 30-year-old man who had pictures of a 13-year-old girl in a bikini on his computer without consent and with no reason to have those pictures except for the pleasure for himself. I do not care anymore about the fact that he claims it was drugs and that drugs make you creepy. I felt the need to protect my daughter and his daughter. I thought, is this man into children? What if he is? As I'm writing this, I'm thinking to myself, this podcast might never go out because this is really bad. I was thinking the worst of the worst, and the worst is that my sister was 13 or 14 in those pictures. Our daughters are almost 13, and I couldn't get the idea out of my head of a grown man stealing pictures of them for his own pleasure. What's even worse than that is that this is my husband. What if he is attracted to the girls at that age? And what if he is, and what if he's been keeping this a secret the whole time? When I got back from this trip, I laid all of these thoughts out on my husband. He was patient and kind and stuck by his story of being a creep that was on drugs and that he was never attracted to underage people. But that when he was on meth, he would do weird stuff like stay up for days and steal anyone's pictures on the internet. He said that he now knows it's wrong and he can't do anything about the past. All he can do is change for the future. He's trying every day to show me and blah, blah, blah. It became a real struggle that literally took over my mind, and sometimes I wonder, did I think about that at that moment because I was posting pictures of my sister and I wanted to protect her? Why did it happen to come up at this time that I'm dealing with the affair? Is it because it's something I can look at as an excuse to not be with Brian? During this time, all these thoughts were going through my head. Some days I felt like I could get over the pictures, and I believed what Brian said. I wanted to treat him with love and with forgiveness like God tells us to do, but then the next day I couldn't forgive him, and I would have hate for him and hate for myself. I mean, just really, really bad feelings, and now I had two secrets. I was now keeping the fact that I was having an affair secret. I was having these strong questions and feeling of condemnation for keeping the secret about my sister and knowing that maybe I should tell my mom and maybe that would make me feel better. Maybe that would help me decide if what I'm feeling is correct. I still haven't told her. I go around and around in circles in my head thinking about all the possible outcomes. I feel she is going to hate Brian, but I don't want that if I decide to stay with him. But I also need to know the truth. I need to know how she would feel if she truly knew him, if she knew these things. So all of this is going on, and then that same weekend that I got back from the trip, P asked me to come over. I felt no remorse all day when I left to go there. I felt like I deserved this. And I needed to get away from Brian while I'm figuring out all of the stuff with my sister in the pictures. P and I had a great day in the beautiful summer weather that Minnesota provides in July. After we went out for an ATV ride, he admitted he wanted to confide in me. I can't go into detail, but it was about a traumatic event that happened to him that weekend. He cried to me and I cried, and I felt his pain. We spent the afternoon talking, crying, learning from each other, and I ended up telling him how I felt, and he told me he loved me too. Nothing has been the same since. From that day on, I felt sort of a responsibility for him and his mental health. I did love him. I truly did and still do. But knowing he could possibly be suicidal from what happened to him really ate at me. All the while having a husband at home who I was also afraid could become suicidal if he knew what I was doing. I don't want to hurt anyone. P has never hurt me, and that's where I decided to put all of myself into, besides my kids. I felt terrible for possibly hurting Brian and also for possibly hurting P. I always try to please both of them in the ways that they like to be pleased, and it almost feels like I'm making up for the guilt by being everything that I want since the day he told me he loves me. He has told me that I saved his life because I was there for him during that time and he had me to talk to. He called me his angel. He put me on a pedestal. I felt happy to be this person that makes him happy, but I was only becoming more confused about what I need to do for myself and my kids. It felt somewhat of a burden, but a burden that I can't walk away from because I do love him, and I love that he does appreciate the little things that I do. And I appreciate all the small things he does. I was now finding more and more excuses to sneak over to his house. At the time, my friends and I tried having weekly dinner dates. I would tell my husband we were going out to my friend's cabin or house, which were both out of town, and he didn't question it much. For 18 months now, I have stayed over at P's at least once a week. Every once in a while, my husband will question it and even text asking me if I'm cheating. The last time he asked me, I told him, "Let's talk about it when I get home." I was ready as I was ever going to be to tell him when I got home, but when I came home, he didn't ask, so I didn't tell. I know it sounds sick. I know I'm taking advantage of a situation that most men would not allow, but I can't seem to stop it on my own, and I don't want to. Going over to P's is an escape from the hell I feel at home with my husband. It's my happy place. The thing is, I know if I get a divorce and make a life with P, it's not always going to be perfect. We will have the stresses of life that we don't have now. He will be a part of my kids' life. We will eventually be paying bills together and living together, and I'm not naive enough to think that we won't have our own problems. But the problems we might have may never be as bad as the problems I've been through with Brian. Once things started getting more serious with P, he started letting me meet his family and friends. His family is very, very close and very important to him. They are probably the nicest people I've ever met. They are beautiful souls. His mother is the type of woman I want to be. They have treated me like family, and I have felt comfortable around them from the very beginning. This has made it even harder for me because I know they would treat my kids well. My children could have the family that they don't have from Brian's family. P's friends are also great. Everyone that knows P knows what a great friend he is to the people he loves. There are so many what-ifs going through my head, and the fact that both men are letting me basically call the shots is definitely slowing down my urgency to make a decision. P does bring this up often. He tells me the longer I take to make a decision, the worse he feels about himself because he doesn't like being with a married woman. He said he deserves someone who wants to be with him, and the longer I take to make a decision, the more unattractive it is. I get that. My husband is the best now that he's ever been, once he realized that I was probably going to end the relationship with him. He told me he was going to start coming to church with me, and he will give it a try. And he did, and we have gone on and off for probably 6 months. This is something that I had really hoped for, that he would find a life in Christ, because no matter what, I want that for him. He did start therapy when I gave him an ultimatum of starting and taking it seriously or leaving him. He had an appointment and he said it went well, but he didn't say anything else, and I don't know if he told her the truth about himself. He had another appointment, and then it was a while before he said anything about doing it, so I don't think he's going to therapy for any other reason than trying to maybe appease me. I really want him to do things for himself. He opened up to me about a month ago when I brought up my concerns with those pictures concerning I would be with a pedophile. When I do get upset about these things, I really get upset. I don't let my mind go there until it does, and then when it does, it just hits me, and sometimes I'll cry. I'll bring it up to him, and I just don't do it in a way where I'm attacking him. It's just me trying to get deeper understanding of why he is the way he is, and because I struggle to truly believe the whole methamphetamine thing. I know he did drugs, but I don't believe that every single drug addict has pictures on an SD card of a 13-year-old girl. When I brought this up recently, he came to the room later and cried, which is something that he does not do often because he doesn't show emotion. He told me that he does remember something from his childhood that he didn't remember prior, and it was something to do with another child molesting him. I believe him. He seemed very sincere, and to me, it is great that he was able to open up with me about it. I know that there has to be a lot more that happened to him as a kid. He tells me that he doesn't remember at least a year of his life as a kid. I mean, no memory, and to me, that's just not normal. I feel like there has to be more, such as physical abuse, which there was, and lack of parenting, which there was, and I think there's probably a lot more sexual. He said he doesn't want to speak about it. Not even speak to me about it, and I know therapy could help him. I can't force him to go when he clearly doesn't want to. He's sober and a pretty good dad, but I need more. I need to know him. I need him to be real and not just tell people what they want to hear. So I just feel like a crazy person because every day I feel different emotions, and some days I feel really guilty. I feel like I want my children to have a family that we have given them. It's a good life. They know we bicker, but they don't know anything other than that because they're children, and they shouldn't be involved in all the problems adults face. It kills me to think about taking that away from them, but it also kills me to think about losing time with my son. I also worry about my husband because what will he do? We can't afford two mortgages. We can't afford two car payments. Together, we are barely making ends meet, and we live within our means. Our kids have what they need, but we don't have money for anything else. I know that is probably a stupid excuse. I know that P doesn't like that excuse, and he says, well, you know what? He'll figure it out. But I can't just say that. I can't just say he'll figure it out because I know he has nowhere to go. He can't afford an apartment. I don't want to be the cause of his struggle. So this is where I am now. The affair has been going on for 2.5 years. I'm still seeing P at least once a week. I'm still in love with him. He still wants me to leave and says it can't go on much longer, and he wants me to leave Brian once and for all. I've not slept with my husband for over a year. He knows something is going on, or I assume he does, because he doesn't bother to stop me from going out with friends weekly and not coming home. Some people know about the affair. My best friends know, and they don't know what I should do either. It's a terrible place to be. I feel like a fraud. I don't want to let my kids down, but I also don't know if I'm letting them down now by living in this hell. I wish I knew what the ending of the story was. I definitely need to speak to a therapist, and I need to make myself a priority, because no matter what I decide, I need to know that if it is the end of this marriage, I am ending it for the right reasons. I know that the right reason would not be because there is another man that I want to start a life with. I can't be the person who would leave a relationship for another person. So if I do end up leaving my marriage, I won't immediately be jumping into a serious relationship with P. I won't be introducing him to my children as my boyfriend for a while. I just wish I had more clarity on the situation. If I could go back and not cheat that first night this all started, I don't know if I would. It would certainly be easier if I wouldn't have done it because maybe things would have gone the way that they were and maybe I wouldn't have even remembered the pictures. Regardless, chances are I would have remembered the pictures no matter what. I wonder if this had not happened the way that it has happened, would my husband have made some of the changes that he has made? I also don't know whether I will tell him or not. If I decide to make the marriage work, it will take a lot of work. In both of those scenarios, I don't know whether it's best to tell Brian or not. I am open to all suggestions on what anyone would have to say about all of this. I hope that I make sense with this story because I kind of went all over the place with that, and I realize it's a lot harder to put into words while it's still happening. And this concludes Karen's story. Karen, thank you so much for sending this. There were so many thoughts that were going through my mind as I was reading your story. And first off, I'm going to start out by saying you're not a bad person. I know that in situations like that, especially for those of us who do have a conscience, we know what we're doing is wrong. But sometimes it's fulfilling a need that's not being met at home. We wish it would be, but it's not happening. And then we get ourselves into this huge screwed up situation. The going back and seeing that you've... Let's just say going back to when you're a childhood and keeping in mind, I'm not a psychologist, but you watched how your mother treated your father. Your father put up with it, right? You were a kid, though, so maybe you didn't understand a lot of it, but you watched it happen. You got into a relationship and got pregnant with a person who treated you like crap from the beginning, and you were constantly trying to do what you could to make him happy, to no avail. You were taking all the measures and the steps. He was non-supportive. He did all this stuff, and lo and behold, you ended up having an affair with somebody else. So you start this relationship with Brian when you're on an emotional distress from your first relationship, which totally makes sense. And when you first met Brian, there was a lot of connection there. But as time went on and you started to get to know him more and more, you saw those flags. But once again, you weren't going to give up. You were going to do everything you possibly could to make this marriage work. And I just see this pattern happening because, boom, here we are again, back to having another affair. Granted, this one's been going on a long time. And there's a lot more on the line for you this time around, with the kids and your home and all of those things. But what you need to sit back and realize is you need to be responsible for yourself and yourself only. Brian is an adult. The path in life he chose with the drugs and his emotional state and refusing to get help, as sad as it is, it's on him. You cannot be responsible for him as an adult for the decisions that he makes. You can only take care of yourself and your children. Now, with divorce, it is difficult for children, but you did say it in your story as well. Are they feeling that tension? And I've said this before on many shows, and it happened to me. My parents did not get along, and I was relieved when they got divorced because it just felt better. You know, I had time with my dad, with our music and everything. I lived with my mom, but I could see my dad when I wanted. Granted, I was a little older, but I did notice the difference. It wasn't hugely traumatic. And I think when we get to this point in life, what is more traumatic for them? And they may never share that with you, at least not until they're grown and maybe have kids of their own, of how they were feeling. But as long as they know mom and dad just don't get along, but we love you no matter what. You are still the most important things to us. We just can't be together at the same time when we're with you. But that just means you have special time with each parent and lots of love. But it has nothing to do with them. They were wonderful children. They are wonderful children. But mom and dad need to do what's best for them. And I say this to you, Karen, because I'm not sure how old you are, but the fact that you have young kids, I imagine you're probably in your mid to late 30s, maybe. And this is one shot at life. This is your life. How do you want to spend the rest of your life? Your kids are going to grow up, and then what? You know, I think what's happening a lot is you have a good heart. I can see that. You don't want to let anybody down, but you've also got to take care of yourself because no one else is going to. Only you can. I want you to take what I'm saying and really think about it. Financially, yeah, divorces suck. But it's not your fault that he didn't go to school and get a better education for a better paying job. I'm happy to hear, though, that you said you wouldn't move straight in with this other guy. And that's good because you can't, as I've said, you can't build a foundation from ashes. You need to find out about you because at a young age, you, just like me, jump from relationship to relationship to relationship. But who are you? What do you want? What is it in life that you need to be fulfilled and to make those decisions about your relationships and who you want? And having this other guy hang around for 2.5 years, but it sounds like he may be running out of patience, but he does care about you, or I think he would have probably split by now. What does he want long term? Yes, he wants to be with you, but ultimately, what does he want? Does he want to have kids, stepkids? You know, what's this future going to look like if you can see it? Granted, you've been with him a couple years. You're way beyond that whole limerence part of the relationship where everything is exciting and fun. And then real life sets in and you're like, wait a minute, this isn't what I thought things were going to be. Kind of like with you and Brian, kind of like with a lot of affairs that happen. When you get to the place where you're paying the bills and nobody's scrubbing the toilet and there's this and that and all the stress, sometimes that fun fantasy, I call it a fantasy because you can envision, and I'm not saying you particularly, but one can envision this life and how they make you feel when you're with them. And I just want to feel like that always. It goes away, unfortunately. And a lot of marriages then at that point will start to fall apart if they don't continue dating and putting each other first. But that newness and that excitement of when you just get a moment sneaking away just adds to that. And that goes away as well. So I just want to caution you, and maybe it's meant to be with P, and maybe time will tell, but I just really think you need to take a step back and make the decision on what's best for you. What's best for you, not anybody else. Everything else will work out in the end where it's supposed to. But just really look at yourself. Process the things that have been bothering you with your marriage, with the drugs, with the porn, with the feeling of not understanding why he had these pictures of your sister. That's that part. You may never be able to get past the drugs and the porn is another story, but this is personal. And I don't think you're ever going to get past that. And I'm happy to hear that he's trying to make steps to go forward, but it may be time to have that true candid conversation with him. Dude, our marriage is not a marriage and I want more in life. So we need to separate. Can you guys live separated? Does that make sense? Can you be in the same house and be officially separated? Or, you know, can he go live in his parents' basement or whatever? But you guys definitely need some time apart. You need some time to think. And also that'll give you an opportunity to see how the children are reacting and behaving during that time. So again, just focus on you. Okay? Keep me posted. Again, thank you so much for your story and hang in there. On Raw Truth Stories of Female Infidelity, I share stories of women who have been unfaithful to their spouse or partner. I give them a safe space to be able to explain what happened and why they chose the direction of infidelity. But I also feel it is just as important to understand what the betrayed husband or partner faced when he uncovered the truth. I think a day or two later is when she fucked her professor. A few weeks later, she confessed to me that she had sexual intercourse with Pat, her advisor. She claimed it was just once, though I don't know if I believe that. She certainly had a several-month emotional affair with him, at the very least. It struck me that she sounded so nonchalant in telling me. Over the next several months, I had emotions like nothing I have experienced before or since. To hear exclusive stories of the men's discovery of female infidelity in their relationship, have early access to regular episodes ad-free and more extras, subscribe to my Patreon by visiting my website, rawtruthstoriesoffemaleinfidelity.com. Subscription pledges start as low as only $4 a month. You have been listening to Raw Truth Stories of Female Infidelity. Your support of Raw Truth Podcasts is truly appreciated. When you visit the website, rawtruthstoriesoffemaleinfidelity.com, you will find the story guides to help form your story, where you can subscribe to Patreon for exclusive episodes, and to vote for the podcast to be in the Hot 50 Countdown for Podcast Magazine. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to my other podcast, Let's Ponder with Rebecca Adams, where taboo topics are discussed. To submit your female infidelity story, share feedback, or have general questions about the show, please email rebecca.rawtruth@gmail.com.